This is a podcast about living out of intimacy, a conversation over coffee about a living God whose desire is to live out of you. Pour yourself a cup of coffee and join us. I'm Jason Goodson.
And I'm Johnny Taylor.
And this is Coffee and Conversations.
We're back.
Welcome back to Coffee and Conversations. I'm Jason.
And I'm Johnny.
And we have lighting. We have new lighting. We got a, what is this, a rope?
It's just a rope LED light. Kind of light our faces up a little bit in the room light without it being daylight outside.
And I'm getting so old now that I can't look at that screen and go, yeah, it looks great, JT. But, you know, it's like, and I know it's good. Like, I don't doubt your work. Your work is great. I'm just saying, from my eyes looking at that right now.
Yeah, it's too far away.
All I'm seeing is a blob.
I need to bring in our little TV and use it in the monitor like we used to when we were doing football.
Oh, yeah, man. You don't have to be doing all that extra stuff. But listen, if you're, you know, into the little details of how all this works, I wish I could sit here and describe what it looks like from me to the camera, what it really looks like. You know, we get a soundboard here. We got...
Take a picture and...
We got several things that, but it doesn't take a ton of equipment, but it's good equipment. We've had it for a while.
Yeah, for a long time.
And
you realize I bought this soundboard, I think, in 2015.
Yeah, it's when it was.
10 years.
Yeah.
And I've got one that we've used for podcasts that's older than that.
Yeah, and so I've tinkered with these things a little bit enough to know to be dangerous, but not to do it perfectly. But anyways, I love it. It's a great setup, and thankful we're still, they're letting us still be in this place for now. Excuse me.
Thankful to the Jones family.
Yes, thankful very much to the Jones family. Great. This day today was, you know, I'd say it was a great day, but I had a conversation with the teacher this morning. I'm not going to go into details of the conversation, but I had a conversation with a teacher this morning, and she left for the day and took our GT kids to Kilgore.
Yeah.
And I guess when she returned and I saw her this afternoon, I told her today was the longest year of my life. And I don't know why, but it felt like the day drug on today. And so it was, you know, and it's not that I was like overly busy with discipline. I mean, other than normal stuff that I usually deal with, but it wasn't like, you know, huge discipline stuff going on during the day. But it just felt like by the time the end of the day rolled around, I felt like I'd been there for a while. You know? You know those days. You know how it feels.
Oh, yeah.
Sun doesn't shine, you know, nothing's outside.
Everything's cold and wet.
All of our students got off the bus and wet today. I mean, it was like pouring today.
And it was cold.
But all of them, too. Yeah, all of them were showing up. And so, anyways, okay, so I'm going to just jump right on into our discussion tonight. I feel like there is, we're going to talk about daily decisions today, but I'm just going out there and throw that out. But, I think everybody's impacted by daily decisions no matter what we do.
And that was one of my thoughts was, hey, let's just take a everyday thing that we all take part in, something very practical, but then let's talk about that and how it relates to our relationship with Christ.
I think it's great. It's funny because yesterday we were in I go back to school. Everything I do right now is going back to school because that's what I do. But we were in our administrative staff meeting yesterday. That was everybody. And one of our sections that are on our to-do list was talk about decisions and how it affects people during the day. So I thought it was pretty apropos when I saw this, and I was thinking, this is weird.
I kind of sprung this on Jason yesterday.
I was like, this is weird. But we did. There's an illustration of the pencil and the eraser, and, you know, the sharpener on one, and then the ink pen and that's an old style pen with ink. And we were talking about one makes, you know, slower decisions You know, we just made it was it's some really good stuff, but it's it's like as a principal, we're making decisions.
Then you have to make some decisions really quickly.
But you have to do it with the mindset of in the education world, you know, what's best for the kid. What's best for the kid? What's best for the kid? What's best for the kid? And so we're just learning all those little intricate details of how it affects a decision you make, how it affects everybody that's involved.
Yeah.
And it does. There's times where the motive, you know, you talk about the motives behind those decisions too.
Let's do what we did one time before. Let's read these questions. Y'all pause your podcast and go answer these questions.
Okay.
For yourself. It's not for us. But think about these questions for a little while and maybe write them down, answer them, write down your answers, and then come back and listen to the rest of the podcast.
Great.
Okay, first question. We start out with daily decisions. What is your motive behind, what is our motive behind our decisions? Which is kind of the thing I was thinking about when we did this, or when I did this. Next one was, how do our motives affect our decisions? The third one is, do we have secondary motives that influence our decisions? This is probably going to be the most important question in here. And if so, what are they? Be honest with yourself. You don't have to be honest with us. Do you have trouble making these decisions? If so, what is causing the trouble? And then, what are your thoughts when a decision turns out good? And then what are your thoughts when it turns out bad? And that's our question. So if you want to, pause, answer these questions, and then come back. So anyway, so what's your thoughts on the first one?
Well, I think there's always motives behind the decisions that we try to make, and I can come from it as, you know, a dad and decisions with our families. There, you know, with first things I think about is, well, am I going to make this decision, you know, to do the right thing? What's the next right thing to do, you know, on this decision with the family? You know, last night we end up, you know, traveling to Tyler. You know, I had a meeting. I was new district meeting I was supposed to be at, but you know, it was like I'm gonna put my family first, you know, and do that. And went to Tyler with my family. I said, it wore me out though. And that may have been why the day was the longest day year of my life. But the motive behind it sometimes, even when I'm thinking about, like, if I'm thinking about God here, you know, and this is what our podcast is about, talking about God, right? You know, often when I'm trying to make a decision, it's a big one. Like our decision, I'll go back to our decision to move from Florida back to Texas.
Yeah.
Okay. A lot of people say, well, man, that's a pretty easy decision for you. You know, you're making a long move from a comfortable, we were really comfortable. We were making good money, man. I mean, we were.
Yeah.
I mean, Kathy was making just as much or more than I was.
American dream perspective. Life was good.
We were living life, man. I mean, we had enough money to pay our bills. We were saving money. It was comfortable. We had some great friends down there that we had started making. I played a lot of golf, man. I played a lot of golf. You know, but decisions start hitting. Here's where I think some of, you know, I kind of equate it to this, and I don't want this to sound bad, but some of those decisions, you don't see the bottom of the drop when you jump.
Yeah.
Okay, and so the decision to jump, the motive behind that was we were miserable. Making all that good money, we were living comfortable, we were doing, but inside we were miserable.
Yeah.
And so the motive behind that decision was we were tired of being miserable.
Yeah.
If that makes sense.
Oh, yeah.
So we went from really, really comfortable to really, really uncomfortable real quick. And I worked some jobs between that time frame to where I got it back into education that was very uncomfortable.
When I always,
I mean, I'm just
if I think about your old jobs and
oh my,
a miserable person when you were a chaplain.
I did, and listen, and there was some. Listen, and that is a, when I tell you that is a, that's a calling.
Yeah.
And I don't know that I was called.
I don't think so.
I saw money, and I thought, man, I'm going for that money because I need some money.
Yeah. The rent is due.
The rent was due, and we were living with our parents, man. I mean, we were 8 months into living with Leroy and Beverly. So, and I love those two, you know, the bottom of my heart, but we were ready to go.
Yeah.
You know, we're thankful for everything they did for us at that point. But anyways, there were some motives behind that. You know, how did that motive affect our decisions? Well, the motive was to get back home, and we'd already gone through all those conversations a long time ago. But was during that time where we in that transition, maybe I can't remember. Where we talked about moving back to Texas, and that's all. I can't remember how all that got going, but we were in that melting pot. It was all kind of working that direction, anyways. I think.
Yeah. I remember you stopping through Clinton on your way.
We did, yes.
When I was living there, and
yeah. We
ate it somewhere.
We ate some Chinese food place. I can't remember.
Not Chinese. It was might have been. I don't know.
Well, it was.
It's been a long time.
It's a long time ago, but. I can't remember. We sat and talked, and you know, we'd already done some talking before that, and had some big plans, and just getting to Texas and trying to. You weren't in Texas at that point.
No, I was living in Clinton when y'all moved back
to
Florida.
So we hadn't had our big meeting yet.
And that's when y'all were moving from Florida, and you had your U-Haul. Your mom's with you, mm-hmm. and Justin.
Yeah,
and Kathy had already.
She'd flown. Yeah.
She was already flown in.
Yeah.
And I met y'all on your way through and ate
lunch
with you.
That's right. I forgot about that. Yeah.
Days and days. But that doesn't seem like it's been that long. It's crazy. But
you know, I just felt like there was – our motives behind that, I think, were pure in the fact that we were just tired of being miserable. And that, you know, that on the inside, it almost felt like a breath of fresh air to be – back here in Texas. It was for us in a sense, but that was a scary jump because you don't know what's on the other end of that landing place.
I got to say that stressful on the outside for me is better than miserable on the inside.
Oh, I agree.
Not that stressful on the outside is fun.
It's fun. No, I agree.
But,
you know, but I think sometimes I could go back to even being a young Christian here and really having a, and when I say young Christian for me, I mean, I was 16, you know, and we had these real big ideological, you know, ideas and things that I wanted to do with my life.
Yeah.
I remember telling church I was going to be a youth pastor and youth minister, and I was going to Columbia, South Carolina. I was going to, you know, I had plans, baby. And the motives, I think, was, you know, at the time were pure in heart, but not necessarily what God wanted from me, you know. Yeah. And I think some of that is due to the fact that, you know, we all want to be Billy Graham at some point.
Yeah.
Or, you know, we all want to stand up in front of a huge crowd and go, this is what God has shown me. I want to give it to you, you know.
Yeah.
I think there's some – that motive always existed inside of here, some form or fashion. And I'm thinking back to myself going, you know, there's been some opportunities. There's been things. But, you know, how did that affect what we did? Well, there was a lot of – it affected a lot of things.
Oh, I think back, and this was probably kind of moving on into other things. I became a Christian when I was 18.
Yeah.
And the teaching I got into then was, if you don't do the right things, God's going to be disappointed and upset with you.
Mm-hmm.
And I got to the point in that I couldn't hardly make a daily decision because I was so afraid of making the wrong decision.
Yeah.
And my motive there, my main motive there, was to make the right decision for God.
Right.
But, oh, it was like you're talking about miserable.
Yeah.
Second to this, you know, our motives, of course, motives always affect the decisions.
Yeah.
But the secondary motives, and this is probably what I was thinking on this week of how we will make decisions and we'll have the upfront motive of what we've got to do.
Right.
Oh, this, I've got to make this decision, such and such job, but there's this voice in the back of our heads. How's that going to make me look?
Hmm. Right.
Is the people this is going to affect, are they going to be okay with me?
Hmm.
And I think this is a place that eats our lunch.
Yeah.
Because one, we don't really pay attention to it.
Mm-hmm.
Yet it's influencing what we're thinking and how we feel about ourselves or what we think God thinks about us.
Right.
I think that's the biggest one. If you're not pursuing Christ, then that's not something you think about. But if your desire is to follow God, that's definitely something that in the background will always be
right
haunting those decisions.
Right.
Did I make the right decision?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, I made the wrong decision, obviously, because I didn't succeed. Now God's upset. He's not going to bless me. And that's how our mind works.
Right.
And it's a sad thing that's the way it is.
I can go back to some, you know, I kind of sprung up some thoughts in my brain. Okay, so I remember way back in the day, I'm young, okay, so you talk about Bill Gothard a little bit, right?
Yeah.
You know what I'm talking about. But,
the Institute
you know,
Basic Youth Conflicts.
Yeah, Institute of Basic Youth Conflicts. Well, the influence it had on my family early was pretty huge. Like in the late 70s, early 80s, I remember my mom and dad being heavy into that, you know, that aspect of it and how, I mean, I went to school every day in a uniform, tie on, and straight laced and ready to roll, man, you know, fundamentally going. And when we headed out of there, moved here to East Texas, you know, I thought, wow, this is going to continue. This is going to be bad, man. I'm going to show up to schools. I'm going to get beat up. You know, things are going to start happening, you know. And I'm thinking back to all that stuff and thinking, you know, I think sometimes my mind goes back to some of those old ideas, and I don't necessarily live there, right? And I don't have that. I don't have the fear of that anymore.
Yeah.
But that, you know, I can always see how some of that, me going back and saying, you know, based on the decision I made, how does that, this is silly, but I always think about that damn umbrella, man, that just sit there. Because I thought about, you know, this is the household, this is, you know, this. And I'm thinking to myself, am I under that? No, you're not. Stop.
It's going to rain on me. I got to under the umbrella.
You know, it's just like one of those things where I'm like, golly, man, that's not good. And I just always, I mean, even till to this day, sometimes that just creeps in. It creeps in, opens the door, and kind of peeks in. And I'm just like, yeah, that's enough, you know. No more of that. But, and still it kind of affects, you know.
Oh, yeah.
But I don't let it sit there and ultimately affect a decision that I know is not right to make, you know.
Yeah. But, you know, like I said, I got to the point I didn't want to make a decision.
Right.
Just because I was like, oh, my goodness. If I make the wrong one, I messed up God's plan.
Uh-huh. That's pretty powerful of you, JT.
Pretty arrogant.
You hear that all the time,
which is
though.
The whole point.
But you hear that all the time, yeah. though. I mean, and I don't mean that to be totally rude and crude to people who are listening. You know, if you think you have control over what God's doing, then God bless you. I mean, but I don't think that's very biblical or true at all, you know. And
that's not trust.
Exactly. It's not personal. It's not, I mean, there's a reason we talk about having relationships all the time. Yeah. And having that relationship and an intimate relationship with God, because you have to, I mean, I don't know.
I think we've talked about this a little bit before, a couple, 3 weeks ago, about this is not God's at random.
Yeah. Right.
It says he's a good father.
Right.
A perfect father.
Mm-hmm.
Have you ever just let stuff that would harm your children be at random?
No.
Nope. I'm the father, but we're just going to let it happen.
At random. Hope you make the right decision.
Oh, you stepped out in front of that car. Mm. Oh, my goodness. You'd never do that.
Oh.
And you're just a okay father.
I know. That's the truth. No.
Just something thrown in there.
I'm just saying, I feel like I feel like some of these decisions come back to the fact that, you know, the people, Christians, lack the understanding of who they are in those decisions, you know, ultimately down the line. It's about figuring this part out, who I am, who this identity is in Christ. And it's,
I was just thinking, I've been watching some video clips from The Chosen. I haven't watched the whole thing, but just watching some of the video clips they put out on YouTube,
mm-hmm.
and thinking how stupid the disciples looked to most of the people they were around, making the decisions they made.
Right.
But they made the right decisions. And Jesus made sure they made the right decisions.
It sure did, yeah.
But how it plays into how we think we look to others, or the big one is how we think God thinks about us.
Right.
Rather than starting with how God thinks about us.
Yeah.
We get the cart ahead of the horse there.
Yeah.
If you follow Christ, you're going to make stupid-looking decisions sometimes. And sometimes you may make stupid decisions. But it's part of the deal.
Yeah, it is.
If we've always got to be... If we come from the viewpoint of God's attitude toward us, and I'm not just talking about God loves us.
Right.
I'm talking about God likes us. God's proud of who we are. And nothing I do can change that.
Mm-hmm.
He doesn't base any of that on my decision-making ability.
Correct.
He ain't going to quit taking care of me if I make an absolutely stupid decision. You know, if I go out and invest my money in something totally useless,
right,
and lose all of it, that doesn't change his taking care of me.
Mm-mm. Right.
Matter of fact, it was all in his plan for me to trust him.
Yeah.
And that went on down to the questions about when you make a decision that turns out good, what's your thoughts? And when you make one that turns out bad, what's your thoughts? If it turns out bad, you beat yourself up?
Hmm. Man, I don't know. At my age right now, I'm just getting mad. I just get PO'd. You know, I just, because I know.
Yeah.
I know it's partly because, you know, something...
Is there rest in that?
No, sometimes no, there's not. And I want it to be restful, but it's not.
I think it was, I was trying to find it. I found it today on my phone, and then I was going to look it back up tonight, and then Google search wouldn't find it for me. But I think it was Leonard Ravenhill, which is funny because Leonard Ravenhill lived right down the road from here, that said, he said, "You can no longer flatter me or flatten me with your words." And I've always considered that, where you got to be in your trust of God to be able to say that. If I'm constantly making decisions based on how I want to look, I'm never going to have any rest. No peace.
Right. Yeah.
And I'm never going to be happy with the results.
Right.
Because it's never going to turn out like I think I want it to.
I agree. It's terribly unfortunate, too, because, you know, we all want the good stuff all the time.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I know.
I just thought about Jim Elliot when he made that decision to fly and land in a jungle.
Yeah.
And go greet the native people there.
Exactly.
Did he make a bad decision? No, he made the decision God called him to make.
That's right.
How did it end for him in this world? Wasn't fun.
Mm-mm.
But one of the natives there that killed him, helped kill him, ended up kind of being part of his family.
Mm-hmm. Can't remember, what's the name of that movie? Is it Edge of the Spear?
Something like that.
It's so good.
Yeah.
Really good. Yeah. I don't want to say that's the name of it, but I'm always thinking about things like that. But it's really cool. You can look it up. Edge of the Spear. I don't know. I think, you know, I always go back to the fact that I have to remind myself, too, that, you know, I am who God says I am and not who I think I am and and who I think I should be, or, you know, like you said earlier, is God mad at me at this response? No, there's no, I have to remind myself of those things sometimes that, you know, these things are still true of me. Yeah.
Well, I think I've talked about it on the podcast before, but a turning point in my Christian life was the day I read the book Practice of the Presence of God, and my brother Lawrence went out and sat down beside the lake. This was about 2.5-3 years into being a Christian, and telling God, I don't care if I fall flat on my face 1,000 times mm-hmm. a day. That's not going to be my focus. I want to know you.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not going to worry about all this stuff that's down here.
Yep. That's right.
And not up there.
It's good.
And at that point, I didn't realize who I was in Christ.
Sure.
I knew I was a Christian as a child, but I had read the whole Bible, but I didn't understand
right. The
scriptures that were talking about who I was, what that new creature was, what God had done on the inside, and that this flesh is not me.
Mm-hmm.
It's just the flesh.
That's right.
Living in this body. I was thinking earlier today, what a horrible example and what a great example of that is somebody with cancer.
Mm-hmm.
Is the cancer that person? Or is the cancer just something living in that person? Living in that person's body.
Mm-hmm.
Does who that person is have cancer? No, their body has cancer.
Right.
Does who I am have sin? Or does it have sin in the sense of having cancer? No. My body has sin.
Mm-hmm.
Who I am
is not that.
Has been made righteous and holy
mm-hmm.
and complete.
Treasures. That's it's, you know, here's a word that we don't hear often in the aspect of who we are in Christ. And we don't ever, like, and I go back to this, and in the sense of, you know, and trailing in any type of decision or any type of things that are motives or anything that go on, is that, you know, people realizing that they're forgiven. I love that. That's one of my favorite things about this whole identity thing is, you know, I don't know about you, but knowing that I'm forgiven.
Oh, yeah.
Do you know how much easier it is to approach God?
And the future is just as forgiven as the past.
That's what I'm saying. It's like there's nothing that we have ever done or doing or will do that will ever change that.
It's and it's freeing. And that's where the decision-making comes from.
Yeah.
If you can believe what God's already done.
Yeah.
Then you can make decisions without all of those secondary motives killing you.
It's exactly right. I mean, and I'll read this scripture. I love this scripture. And the reason, one of the reasons I'm reading this scripture is that we've been doing this Bible study with the family, and it's been, this is some of the stuff we're talking about. And Ephesians 1:7 says, in him we have redemption through his blood. Redemption through his blood. The forgiveness of sins. I love it when scripture just says,
Not of my working.
I know. It's not of my work. It's according to the riches of his grace. Right there. And, you know, it's not in, you know, that's a constant. I would love to, in fact, I'm going to look that up right now. hold on just a second. I'll be right back.
I actually pulled out a, if you've never used ChatGPT, I ask it for an exhaustive verse list on what God says about us, and then one on what Scripture says that we are. It's amazing what it can bring up in a few seconds. Colossians 2:10, and you are complete in him who is the head of all principality and power. Complete.
Searching.
These are some of the verses. I love this one, Jeremiah 1:5. Before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Before you were born, I sanctified you.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. That's a great one right there, yeah.
Before you were born?
Before you were born.
I thought we were being sanctified.
Well, look, the blood of Jesus is powerful.
Oh,
that's the thing is understanding the saints, you know, who I am. Yeah, I am. It's the underlying tone of the word forgiveness. If I go back to that, in him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, right? According to the riches of his grace, he talks about, you know, you're delivered, you have freedom. It's liberty. It's all those things, right? And you go back to that. And then you see, read that verse from you just read, and you're like, holy moly. I mean, it's so good that we often forget the simple things is the blood of Jesus has sanctified us.
Yeah.
It is made, we talk, you know, and everybody equates that with a process from here to here. And we're just, but the process is still true here, as when you started that relation, that sanctification, it's still true here as it is here. I may know more here than I knew here, but it's still true.
Yeah, it was true the whole time.
It never ever changed.
And something I was just thinking about, how the word forgiveness there is more of a total removal.
Oh no, no, yeah,
it's not. And here's how we think about it. God is like, oh, I forgive you, but I got my eye on you.
Yeah.
That's how we think about forgiveness. I'm going to be watching you because I know you can't quite keep it together.
Oof.
No, it means he removed the sin as far as the east is from the west.
Yeah, that's one of my favorites.
He removed it. He didn't say he removed it until you do it again. He said he removed
it. It's infinite, yes.
All time.
Yeah.
Now, this old flesh that's got sin dwelling in it, it's going to act up on me and give me problems. But that's not what God's talking about here. He's talking about who we are and what he's done to who we are.
I love that. Set apart, Jeremiah. Is that the Jeremiah 1:5 you just read?
Yeah.
Love that verse, man.
And he was talking to Jeremiah.
Sure.
It's pertinent to everyone that's his child.
You know, it all tracks back. You are complete in him who is the head of the principality and power. You know, you're complete.
Yeah.
That goes back to set apart. You're holy. It's, you know, those are things that were easily described as, you know, words of describing the church or describing people. And we're not talking about brick and mortar. We're talking about living and breathing beings, being the church. That the Spirit of God no longer resides outside or in a tent behind a curtain. We are the tent and curtain. We are the building of God. So those are things that are.
Let's hit the Old Testament again here. Isaiah 26:3. You will keep in perfect peace those whose minds are steadfast because they trust in you.
Mm-hmm.
Didn't say those that worked hard, those that didn't fail, those that were successful.
Right, yeah.
It says because they trust in you.
Right.
They don't trust in their decision making.
Yeah.
They don't trust in doing good.
Oof.
Or being right.
Right.
They trust in you. And that comes back to what we always talk about. It's about belief. What do you believe?
Mm-hmm.
If you don't believe what God says about you.
You, yes.
Then decision making is always going to be hard.
It's good stuff, man.
So this is a practical thing about believing in God.
Yeah. Very good. Love it. And I feel like there's always room for that. For that to be learned by somebody who is still in the idea of, you know, who is, I'll just say it, I've got friends who are still regretting past sins.
Yeah.
Still go back to those days of, man, I just hope, you know, I'm good enough now to overcome the things I used to do.
I mean, we knew somebody basically because of past stuff got out of ministry. As a matter of fact, I think I know at least two people.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. Just thinking.
I mean, I don't know the whole story behind those things, but I'm like, God can't forgive those things.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
Those things are still affecting who you are or who you think you are.
Yeah. It's sad. Yeah.
And I'm not, we're not talking about, okay, I got to go out here and I got to believe so I can make decisions easier. No, making decisions easier is just a byproduct.
Byproduct of it.
Yeah. It's a result of you taking that gift of God's belief, the gift that God gives you to believe,
mm-hmm.
and focusing on that rather than on the things down here.
Right.
Focus on things above, not on things below where, what is it, rust and moth can destroy or something like that.
It is. It is exactly what it is.
Because you get trusting in your decision-making ability, it'll get blown out of the water. Be like those people saying the Titanic can't be sunk.
Oof. Went down pretty quick.
Yep.
In boat terms.
Yeah.
I assume so. Children, look. Here, I love these. Sorry. We'll get that in a minute. But think about this. You, children of God, all right? You're loved, chosen. You're whole. Do you believe those things about yourself?
Yeah. Do you believe you're a new creature?
Yeah.
Do you believe that next decision you've got to make, whether you make a good one or a bad one,
that you're still that?
You're still who God says you
are. That's right.
And he's still pleased.
Yeah.
He's not hiding who you are behind the blood of Christ.
You're still an heir of God. You're still those.
You have already been made the new
creation. That's right. That's right.
A part seated in the heavenlies. You're seated. What's in the heavenlies? Nothing bad.
Nothing bad. That's exactly right.
And you're seated in him. It says in him there's no sin.
I love that, man. It's so good.
See, we don't believe who we are.
Yeah.
Yep. We believe who our eyes see our body is. Not me. I own this body, but it's not me.
It's not me. That's right.
Just like the cancer. Somebody with cancer, the cancer's not killing that person. It's killing their body.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And that's what we got to realize about sin. Sin's not killing you. It's not making you unholy. It's not making you incomplete. It's
very
simply
good.
Killing your body.
Yep. Whew. Love it.
So anyway, we're going to put a list of verses.
Yeah, let's be good.
I won't post them on the Facebook for sure, but I'm going to try and put them on a page on the website. And I'll post a link to that. It may not be with the video, but we will post that at some point here. Matter of fact, we can probably post them on Facebook anyway. Just a copy and paste. I think I'm right about the King James versions. Not copyrighted, so we can post it.
Well, I'll tell you what. Post it. See what happens.
If our Facebook page disappears, you'll know why.
Well, if our... Anything. I mean, you could even put all this in your on the video on the YouTube. You could drop those verses in there. I bet.
I actually tried to get ChatGPT to do a video clip for me of it, and it was doing it, and then I ran out of time on it.
I wonder. I bet we could make that work. That'd be
you
pretty
might
cool.
Make it do it because you have a subscription.
Mm-hmm. And we'll get to work on that. Just see what happens.
It was about to do it, and I'd already done enough stuff on there that the free version I ran out of.
Okay.
Free.
Very cool. So, all right.
Anyway, I don't know. This is just something that's on my mind the last 2 days, and it's funny that Jason had already had a.
It's weird, yeah. I mean,
conference about it, but I think it's good to look at practical things. And then take it back to the spiritual and realize, hey, the practical also works in this. It's not separate.
Right.
So my hope is that you can make decisions without stressing.
That's right. Absolutely. And like I said, we always talk about this, and I hope that you will think about acting on this stuff. If you're this far into this video, you're listening, do us a favor and go to the pages we have set up, and go to the page we have set up on Facebook for sure, Coffee and Conversations, and really interact with us and share it out, and just and invite people. We've done a lot of inviting people to like the page, stuff like that. But if you'll continue to help us with that process, your likes, your shares, your comments, all those things affect how people see our stuff.
I tell you,
and
get you a buddy and sit down and listen to it, podcast, and discuss it.
Yeah, yeah. This for years we took, like when I first met JT, we didn't have a microphone and computer sitting in front of us, but we had. We had coffee and a table, and we sat down and started having conversations, and And it kind of led to this idea of this podcast, and those are years and years of conversations.
We had many conversations at 2 o'clock in the morning, sitting in the dining hall at camp.
Yes, right. Going, oh my gosh, we got to get up in a few hours to do next day work. But but it's really those things that really set forth the motions of what we're doing right now, and hopefully that it's striking a nerve in you to pursue and know God, and that's what we want.
Yes, so something else I want to bring up here. Good friends of ours, Amanda and Bobby Simmons.
Oh, yes, yes.
Their little baby girl, Ailey Mae, just had an open heart surgery.
You know, I can't remember which, the oldest boy, maybe it was the second, but it wasn't Trey, he was the second son, and I'm still remembering names, but he spotted me at a Grant Sleen Mineola volleyball game. Came across the court and shook my hand, remembered who I was, and he'd been to one of my Sunday school classes. And it had been several months before that, and told me about the possibility of her having the surgery, and then we saw the pictures on Facebook and stuff, so just thinking about you guys, yep.
I would share that, but they don't have it set to public, so.
Right.
But I was thinking about that today, just the decisions they had to make.
Absolutely, yeah.
And how you had, I mean, I can't even imagine those decisions.
Sure, man, yeah, awful.
But just having to rest in God.
That's right.
When you're making those kind of decisions, but just pray for them and pray for Ellie Mae. And
absolutely, yeah.
It sounds like the surgery went really well and they accomplished what they needed to do, so.
Well, it's amazing what doctors can do these days. For sure. And
she's still a little bitty baby.
Yeah,
so.
Yeah.
Not even a toddler. So,
well, it's amazing how resilient they are. Yeah,
so resilient. Mm-hmm. But
anyway,
just been on my mind today.
Yeah, it was.
All right. Well,
we'll see you next time.
Next time we get together, we're not going to say when it's going to be.
Never know,
like,
man.
Stuff keeps changing. Yeah. And one thing we're not going to do, if there's not something that's kind of bubbling on the inside, we're not going to just come and sit down and talk.
Yeah. Well, last week, I think we ended up having dinner, didn't we? Or was it 2 weeks ago?
2 weeks ago, because last week you had a meeting that came up.
Oh, gosh, man. I mean, since 2 weeks ago, we just need to go to dinner.
Yeah, we were like,
So that happens, for sure.
All anyway. Right.
Until next time.
Y'all take care.